Thanks for tuning in to the New Life Apostolic Church YouTube channel and website at nla.church. Once again, that's nla.church. We're excited to hear God's word at our Sunday worship service and pray you're blessed by what you hear. And be sure to come back and join us for an in-person experience with great worship, singing, and of course, a message from God's word. Let's go there now and hear today's message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. In a little over 13 hours, we're going to be in a new year. Brother James, would you come? I'd like for you to lead a prayer. As he's coming, that song is my testimony. Give him a microphone, somebody, please. It's my testimony this year. And a few months back, the Lord laid it on my heart that it should be our theme song for 2024. And because I believe God is challenging us. We have a lot of children and adults that are sick with this RSV, flu, COVID, or all of the above. And I'd like Brother James to declare a word of faith and declare healing in this morning to every one of those children and adults, whether they be members of our church or not. That, amen. Even if we have to put the hospitals out of business, that's okay. In Jesus' name, would you pray, Brother James?
Is it on? There you go. In Jesus' name, Father, Lord, God in heaven, we come before you right now, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus. There's a new year coming, God. And there's some things that got to be changed, God. There's some things that got to be put aside, God. Lord, we need to have a focus, God. We need to understand what is your will. What is the direction of the church and of our leadership, God? And let us take hold of it, God. Let this fire be kindled under us, God, and take it by force, Lord, and seek out in this world, God, and bring everyone, God, that we make contact with that doesn't have you, Lord Jesus. We're asking you right now, Lord, to move and have your way. Let there be healing and let there be deliverance in the lives of those, God, that you will touch, Lord, that you would do a miracle, God. You and you only are able to do these things, Lord. Let us look towards you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And we're going to praise you on what you're doing and what you're going to continue to do, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if you have my PowerPoint there or, there it is. 2023 was a year of divine increase. And just in this last 6 months, between us and Madeira, I believe we've had over 50 baptisms in Jesus' name. People receiving the Holy Ghost. And there was increase in many different ways. And I want to thank the Lord for that. I want to thank the Lord because it was spiritual, intellectual, relational, and numerical growth at New Life. Some of us went through growth that we weren't expecting. And I thank the Lord. I want to read the verses that we had for this year. If you could put it up there for me, or somebody send me the clicker. Amen. There it is. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. I think that's an awesome scripture. Thank you. During this time of blessing and increase, we also had pain. And I want to thank the Lord for everybody who has joined together to support those that went through pain. One of our sisters in the Spanish ministry, Daniela Serrano, passed away at a very young age. My mother-in-law passed away at a ripe age. Mana Rosa Villarreal was in her 90s. And lately, Sister Conchita Valenzuela passed away as well. In the Avalos family, a son-in-law also passed away, and there's probably more. There was pain. And I know what the scripture says in Romans 8, 28 and 29, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I believe it. When the words of that song talk about leading me to a place where my feet cannot stand, that was literal for me. Amen. For about 7 months, and I thank the Lord that I can stand now. Yeah. And that I can walk. Maybe during the year I'll preach to you a message that's a typological message found in the book of Ezekiel, of how the waters reached him to his ankles, then to his knees, then to his hips. Then he says, I had to swim because I couldn't touch ground. But that's the place where total dependence on God occurs. Where your feet can't touch ground. Somebody said, I'd rather be on the waves holding on to Jesus than in the boat without Jesus. So this year, that's our theme. Spirit filled. And I'd like to read the scripture to you. The chair is there until I can't stand anymore. This is not. I figured that as long as I have this to hold on to, and as long as I don't lean forward and both of us go and hit the altar there. Amen. You're lucky that I've lost 30 pounds, brother. If you catch me. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Interesting comparison. Don't get so intoxicated. But be very intoxicated with the Spirit. We're in for a ride in 2024. I believe that God really has spoken to me. And by the end, on December the 31st, 2024, we'll find out if I was just on pain meds. But I doubt it, because the Lord touched my body in such a way so that if I went 2 weeks with anything besides Tylenol, it was too much. And so I know it's God. The other day, the Lord impressed me about writing my testimony. Because if I don't write it, I want to leave a lot out. And there's a few times there that I thought I was going to be the next preacher in heaven. Amen. But I said, I don't want to go there yet. I want to go there, but not yet. Please be seated. In this verse, God is talking about extremes. He's not talking about just drinking, but it says getting drunk out of your mind. And in the time of Jesus, it took a lot of wine to get drunk. Now it doesn't take that much. And now there's stuff that doesn't take almost anything at all. One of the things that I thank the Lord for is that knowingly, or I never got drunk. Not that I can think of. Of course, they always say that everybody thinks that they're not drunk. I have been around it. I was around it a lot. And I saw what drunk people did. The Lord wants us to be so extremely filled with the Spirit so that it scares the mere thought of complacency away. God hates complacency. God hates lukewarmness. God hates the thought, I'm okay. The Christian walk has never been described as standing still. It's described as an upward journey. Always moving forward until the day is perfect. I remember reading a long time ago a sign on a desk. Don't look at me now, God's not through with me yet. And even though that sounds really good, sometimes that could be the biggest cop-out there is. Is it okay to say that, cop out? Because I know that young people, they change their words on me all the time. Sometimes I hear it after the message, don't say that again. But it is one of the biggest cop outs, because we kind of make an excuse for ourselves. I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. That sounds real spiritual, huh? That's a bunch of excuses is all it is. I'm talking about myself, okay? If the coat fits, put it on. That's the way you say it in Spanish, okay? In English, it says if the shoe fits. In Spanish, si te queda el saco, póntelo. Complacency leads to opposition of the gospel. Complacency is demonstrated by a life of routine. Complacency questions the issue of lordship in yours or my life. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And if you're reading the one-year Bible, if you haven't read it yet, today you finish with Malachi 3 and 4. But yesterday, we read some statements. This is the last book written in the Old Testament. There's a chronological sequence, and thank God that Malachi falls in that sequence that's chronologically set in the Bible. But the oldest book written in the Bible was the book of Job. Malachi, the oldest book, ends with the word curse. And they go into 400 years of silence. Oh, but I'm so glad that we find the words of John the Baptist, because Malachi also ends with Elijah's going to come. And he's going to preach a message to bring the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And when you hear John the Baptist spoken of in the Bible, is that many times they call him Elijah. Jesus said Elijah already came. And Elijah's John the Baptist is the one that says, behind me is coming one whose shoes I'm not worthy to latch. Excuse me, I have that habit of grabbing my glasses, and I don't need them anymore. That was usually was, hold on to your hats, here comes one. So I have to figure something else out. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. So in Malachi, you hear words like, thus says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the King. In other words, not just anybody's talking to you. The captain of your salvation is talking to you. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is talking. And then he says, yet you say, and you make up an excuse. And you get into the New Testament, and you have a similar statement, but in reverse. Chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation talks about the church age from Pentecost until the rapture. And the church of the open door, the church of Philadelphia, goes hand in hand with the church of Laodicea. One is the church of the open door, and the other one is the lukewarm church. And they live at the same time, so that Yes, even at New Life. You have Laodicea mingled with Philadelphia. To Laodicea, Jesus says, you say, he starts off with that. He doesn't start off with, I say. He says, you say that you're rich, you're increased with goods, and you have need of nothing. You're complacent. You're satisfied. You're happy with where you're at. But I say, oh, he turned the table around. He says, I say that you are poor. You're naked. You're wretched. So I'm going to give you some advice, he says. I'm going to counsel you. Let me talk a little bit more about complacency. In Proverbs 18:9, the Bible says, he who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. He who is complacent about the kingdom of God is a brother, is a sister to the destroyer of the gospel. Hold on. Because God hates complacency. I've never hated it more than the times that I've had to lay in bed and stay there. The last or the second to the last option that I was giving because my foot wouldn't heal. He says, I'm going to have to do surgery again. And I'm going to have to make one cut because it was two cuts. He says, but you can't get out of bed from 8 to 10 weeks. If you do, it's going to reopen and we're going to have to start all over again. That was almost a death sentence. But the Lord had already spoken to me that he was going to bring me out. And so I said, let's do it. I mean, he was already operating me almost every time that I went there when he would clean the wound. He actually opened it and scraped some bone off. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, you're so good. You're so good, Lord. But I started to think about it. I wish that I could say I was always a passionate worker. But I have to say the truth that at times I would become satisfied, complacent. At times, I was okay with what God was doing. And I became a lazy worker. I was still working, but I was kind of lazy. But he not only talks about a passionate worker, but he talks about a lazy worker. And he talks about the opponent to the work. And the way that I want to say it, Lord, you're holy? No, that's not the way I wanted to say it. There it is. In the kingdom, there are passionate, faithful servants of the Lord, and there are slothful servants of the Lord. And don't get angry with me, okay? It says, and there are opponents to the gospel. Complacency has a way of fueling the heart of the opponents. In every congregation, there are those that always are opposed to what God wants to do. Oh, they're out there for sure, but sometimes they're in here. Don't feel bad, they're in every congregation. But what complacency does, it legitimizes, it validates, it justifies those that are in opposition to the gospel. Sometimes the opponents say things like, I wonder if he really received the Holy Ghost. We'll see. We'll give him a couple of months. Be careful. Be careful, because when God does a work, it's a beginning. When he gave you the Holy Ghost, whether you spoke in tongues for a minute or for an hour, it was all the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that he gives the Spirit without measure. Amen. It says, and so what I was telling you according to Proverbs is that the slothful servant is a close brother of the opponent to the gospel. You cannot, I cannot, God doesn't want me to be complacent. He doesn't want you to be satisfied with where you're at. Believe you me, that I understand when the thought comes, you've done enough. And I am not at any time in this message speaking evil of no one. I'm talking about things that I have lived. That one of the worst things that I can do is by my lifestyle hinder somebody else to go further. In case you didn't know it, God didn't quit saving people when he saved you and he saved me. Right now I'm in the process of reading four different books. And one of those is the autobiography of Brother Antonio Castañeda Nava, our pioneer. I said, man, oh man, did this man have the Holy Ghost? It's a powerful book. In fact, I almost got my glasses again. One of the comments on it was online, and it was by Bishop David Bernard, General Superintendent of the UPC. And he says, just read Paz de Cristo. That's the title. He says, inspiring. And I'm also reading one by Nathaniel Wilson, Dr. Nathaniel Wilson, on systematic theology. The one is such simple language like if he's having a conversation. The other one, I have to have my dictionary out. Or I have to go to the thesaurus in online. And there's a couple of more that I'm reading. But what I'm saying is this. God put it in my heart. He says, you're not done yet. I've got more for you to learn if you're willing to share it. Lukewarmness, indifference, complacency is not an attitude. I was hearing Raymond Woodward say this. No, I'm sorry, it was somebody else. I quoted Raymond somewhere else. By the way, he's preaching at End Time Restoration Conference this year, Brother Woodward. I'll try and remember who it was, but it was good, so I'm sorry. It's not an attitude. It's an opposing demonic spirit. I thought a lot before putting it down. Because what the teacher was saying is that any time that you are not moving forward, that you're not growing, that you're not faithful, he says you're complacent or worse. And that is a demonic opposing spirit to what Christ wants to do. In the church of the last days, the Laodicean age, Jesus has some advice for the complacent. And he says it this way, I counsel you, first of all, to buy from me gold refined with fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Wow. Vision. Vision. Our vision is to be spirit-filled in 2024. We need to see what God wants. I counsel you to be zealous and repent. And I preached a whole message on that not long ago to you about being zealous. God hates lukewarmness. He wants us to be the ones that are blazing trails. And then he says, open the door. God is going to be knocking at our hearts. And it doesn't matter who preaches to us. We've got to come with an open heart. And we've got to say, talk to me, Jesus. We got to be like Samuel that was taught, if you don't know what else to do, just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is hearing. Amen. In order for this to happen, you and I need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What are you telling us, Lord? I don't want to miss it. I do not want to miss it. This is not like horseshoes. Amen. Almost making it almost count, only counts in horseshoes. Even if dynamite is close enough, it's going to blow you up. I want to know what God is doing in His church. And I want to be a part of it. I don't want to lag behind. when we read the scripture, and be not drunk. The word "and" connects the previous verses because that's the context. And verse 15 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Then verse 16, making the most of every opportunity. Can I tell everybody that is online? I know that I'm glad for online, especially when I couldn't make it. But the very first time that I can make it, I can tell you, there's so much difference if you're here. The reason he says to make the most out of every opportunity, he says, the days are evil. Can somebody say amen to that? Do you know one of the laws that goes into effect in California and Minnesota? A 12-year-old can be confused about his or her sexuality because that's what they're teaching them in public schools. And if they're in California, they can run away from their parents and they can go to one of the clinics and they'll start the hormone process with a 12-year-old without the consent of the parents. The days are evil, everybody. Therefore, or because of everything that I have written, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It's not enough to hear a good message. You can hear good messages online, but you don't know if that's God's will for you or not, because it wasn't preached to your congregation. When the Bible says be filled, it means all the way to the top. I dropped a hat size, because I dropped a lot of hair. Amen. All the way to the top. I'm not losing hair. I'm growing through my hair. It also means to flood with abundant supply. You're going to have a chance the 8th through the 28th. Oh, I was hearing somebody preach that really disappointed me. Because he used to be oneness. I don't think he's oneness anymore. He got a lot of crazy things that he's saying. And he said, you don't need to pray for an hour. The model prayer of the Lord was only 3 minutes. That's what you call taking scripture out of context. You've got to get the whole Bible involved. Because Jesus said, you couldn't watch with me for at least an hour? Be careful who you listen to. Before you know it, you think that good food, good meat, bless God, that seat, that's 10 seconds, so I only got 2 minutes and 50 seconds left to pray. No, no, no. What the Bible is saying, get as much as you can. Let it overflow. Let it overflow. In contrast to being intoxicated, be filled. That means be controlled by the Spirit. That means let the Spirit rule you. It means be possessed by the Spirit. It means be constantly, moment by moment, controlled by the Spirit. Be filled with the influence of the Holy Ghost. A believer, rather than controlling himself or herself, is controlled by the Holy Ghost as they yield to God. How do they begin? By manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, how he or she lives, and then by how they minister at New Life according to the gifts. Now notice, there is no command to be regenerated. There is no command to be sealed with the Spirit. There's no command to be baptized by the Spirit, because that happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. That happens when you're regenerated. Amen. But there is a command. It says, be continually filled. Each born again believer has all the Spirit. Say it. If you have the Holy Ghost, says, I have all the Spirit. The command here is that the Spirit have all of me. Have all of you. It's not whether you have all of the Spirit or not. It's whether God has all of me. Does he have my brain? Does he have my eyes? Does he have my mouth? Is my tongue controlled? Are my feet walking the way he wants me to walk? What are my hands doing? What am I giving my eyes to? So the Bible says that the life of the wise is one that is characterized by the Holy Spirit's control. We're not wise guys and wise gals. We're wise if we're controlled by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's why the Lord hates complacency. This year, everybody, on Tuesday and Thursday of the prayer journey, we're not going to have preaching. We're going to have a half hour of worship. Then we're going to go right into praying. Do you know why? Because we're human. And a lot of us humans, I don't know why it is that when we're talking about church, 9 o'clock seems to be the limit. Oh, come on now. Because I wonder how much longer the pastor's going to preach. I won't preach till 9 o'clock. So you're going to have a chance for there to be overflow. That means I can't stop. I can't stop praising the Lord. I just can't stop worshiping him. I just can't stop. So the emphasis again was on drunkenness. And filled. How are you filled? Believe that you will receive. Repent of your sins. Declare it in Jesus' name. Thank him for the Holy Ghost. And watch it happen. But how do you stay constantly filled? Since that's the command. Well, the very first thing is walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, Galatians says, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, when 8:30 comes around for prayer, The lust of the flesh says, I got me in my eyes. The lust of the flesh says, I'm tired. Come on. It's not just all the other crazy lusts. It's an appetite that wants to be satisfied. So the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. That means live by the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost guide you. So let the Spirit direct your life. What else do you have to do? He says, walk worthy of the Lord. It's in your Bible too, everybody. Worthy means that you're imitating the one who called you. There's a lot of us that are so proud of our names that if one of our kids does something, he says, you're messing the Aguilar name. No, I hope I never told you that, mijo. I'm just giving an example. Some of you might have heard that. But the Bible is more interested in one name, and his name is Jesus. So the Bible says, if you're going to call me Lord, then you need to do something. You need to separate yourself from sin. Walk worthy. That means you're manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. What else can you do? By the Spirit, kill. Everybody say kill. It says it in the good old King James, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill. It's like my grandson Seth one time told me to take care of a nasty bug. Kill it, Poppy, kill it. So I squashed him and twisted my foot on it. The Bible says that no flesh is going to glory in his presence. So when Jonathan Alvear preached, no flesh will glory in his presence, he said a sister got up and testified, an elderly saint, and said, the Lord, even he knew what to do with his flesh. He crucified it. And the fourth thing, and I'm coming to a close. How do you stay constantly filled? Be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Hey, everybody. We've got all of the Holy Ghost that we need. Just the Holy Ghost can't get my attention sometimes. I don't know about you. Sometimes the Holy Ghost tries to warn you, and you think that you are so spiritually strong that that's not going to bother me. But we need to allow the Holy Ghost to convict us. John 16:8 says that's one of the purposes of the Spirit, is to convince me of sin. My correct response to conviction. Is to let the Holy Ghost convict me. This is where James Woodward, this is what he said. Sin is not an activity. Sin is a process. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. There is the desire. The devil didn't make you do it. Your spouse didn't make you do it. Your kids didn't make you do it. Your parents didn't either, kids. Your desires tempted you. My desires tempt me. But it doesn't stop there. From desires, it goes to deception. He says, because your own desires, and then you're enticed. That word enticed literally means bait, what you put at the end of the hook when you're fishing. Don't do it, fish. Keep your mouth closed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Hallelujah. Sin then, right here, is disobedience to God's word. And that's what we call sin. But that's the activity of sin. Sin started back there with a desire, and you let it go a little farther. When it is full grown, it brings forth death. But I didn't keel over. I didn't quit breathing. Every time that we sin, a little part of us dies. Your victory over lust revives when you lust. And guess what has to happen? You have to go back through the process to gain victory again. I'm so glad that God is so good. But you know one thing that a dead person can't do? Can't do any activity. Doesn't he look so peaceful? He looks like he's asleep. He did such a good job. Doesn't he look good? Don't say that when I'm up here. Amen. You know, one of the worst things of laying you down when you're dead, everybody looks up your nose. I didn't know he had such a big nose. I'm sorry, I'm the only one that thinks those things. But what I'm saying, you're inactive. That's death. God hates complacency. That's why the Bible says, wake up, you that sleep, and the Lord will give you light. Oh, hallelujah. On Christmas, we celebrate God with us, Emmanuel. On Good Friday and Easter, we celebrate God for us. But at Pentecost, we celebrate God in us. The purpose of being spirit-filled is to live totally controlled by the Holy Ghost, always knowing the will of God, being empowered to fulfill our mission in the world and our ministry at New Life. In 2024, I'm challenging us to become deeply intimate with Jesus through His Spirit and His Word. So sensitive. I said, so sensitive that the Lord can speak to us like He spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. My prayer to the Lord has been, Lord, you don't have to knock me down anymore to listen. God, you don't have to knock me on my back anymore. Lord, I'm listening. Say the word, and it will be done. There's nothing too hard with you in my life. So, 2024, you're going to hear a lot about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. I'm challenging all of us to do our part to reach the goals. When I was praying about this, I went with the status quo at the beginning, which was what is expected of us as a church. And what is expected of us as a church is a 7% growth. That's what is expected. And I said, Lord, is this what you want, God? I'm not at all belittling anybody that set those goals in our organization. No. I'm just talking about what God was talking to me about. And what God told me was, there's no reason why we can't get 100% growth if everybody is spirit filled. That's right. No reason whatsoever. So I put it down a minimum of 7%. But I believe God wants to give us 100% growth. That's what I'm praying about. That means that we're going to have to add between 15 and 66 new friendship groups. Oh, yeah. And that means that we're going to have between 49 and 700 new births. Believe me, this had nothing to do with physical strength because I had none. It's not based on that. It's based on the church being the church. We're really not doing Book of Acts church until the Lord adds every day to the church. That's what my Bible teaches me. And the Lord added daily those who were to be saved. So, remember, being spirit-filled will kick out complacency out the side door, the front door, the back door. It'll kick it right out. In the month of January, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. I don't want anybody with doubts what it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of voices out there. And no doubt the purpose of the Holy Ghost in your life. and mine. In February, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, because we got to grow in relationship with each other. Amen. And the only way that that will happen is if the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in our lives. That means we're controlled by the Spirit. That means we quit making excuses. That's my nature. Your nature was supposed to die.
That's right.
My nature was supposed to die. How? By the Spirit, the Bible says. Oh, hallelujah. And God is giving us a revival, a day of visitation like never before. I'm going to ask you, if you will at least give the vision a try in 2024, would you come to this altar and tell the Lord about it right now? Between you and God. Between you and God. This is God. And hear me. That's not saying that you're not there. And that's not saying that you need to feel ashamed if you're not there. No, no. That means that 2024 is a new challenge. I want my feet to not step on solid ground where the kingdom of God is concerned. I want to go as deep as He will take me. I'm not caring about walking on water. I'm caring about deep, calling unto deep. Hallelujah. I want borders to dissipate. I want to take me beyond the natural borders. God, I believe you. Praise team, lead us. Lead us. I give you all of me. I give you all of me.